Welcome to Women Reconnecting, a show dedicated to helping women discover the missing link to wellness by taking listeners on a journey away from stress, fatigue, and overwhelm to a life they love. It's time to ascend from the daily stresses of life by reconnecting to your inner radiance so you can play full out and feel alive. With your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells. Hello and welcome to this episode of Women Reconnecting. I'm your host, Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana, a wellness company that helps women recover their health and reclaim their vibrancy so they can return to a life that they love, one that they choose. And I'm really excited about my guest today. I've been on her email list for a while, and I really like to read what she writes because the messages are so amazing. And I know that you're going to get a lot out of this episode of the Women Reconnecting with my guest, Victoria Allen. She's going to be talking about Dreaming Yourself Awake, a woman's dreaming collective diving into the dream stream. And before we start, let me just share a little bit about Victoria. She's a mentor to minds, a champion of spirits, a tender of dreams, and a yin yogi. She's a therapist and spiritual mentor, but most of all, she's a believer in women waking up to themselves. She's been on a mission to help women heal and raise their consciousness. She started her career as a nurse, and then from there, she's dedicated over two decades as a transformational therapist and seminar leader. She earned her bachelor's in nursing and certification as an OBGYN nurse practitioner. She has a master's in psychology with a license in marriage and family therapy, and she holds a certification as a new agreements coach. She's also trained as a Sarupa style yoga teacher and steeped in dream work. Along the way, Victoria discovered that some of our deepest opening into love comes from our most painful experiences, and for her, that included heartbreak, divorce, breast cancer, and recognizing and clearing the pain from her own faulty beliefs and habits. But through these challenges, she's gained the gifts that have brought her into greater states of love and contentment. And now she's discovered what living with subtle joy is really about. And that's what she will be sharing with us today. So please join me in welcoming Victoria Allen. Welcome to the show, Victoria.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. I love what you're doing. I just want to say you're in such a beautiful ministry to women, and I love seeing what you're doing, and I just appreciate being here and sharing myself with you and you sharing yourself with me today.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, and I totally goofed on the type of training that you are in the yoga. Can you say that again?
A lot of people goof that up. It's called Svarupa, which is really bringing consciousness into the body. It's a very sort of deep restorative yoga that helps unwind the deeper levels of tension in the body, which actually affects the tension, the contraction in the mind. So it's to me, it's just such a powerful yoga that really helps us open up ourselves and get in touch with our deepest truth, our deepest self.
That's amazing. That's great. That's wonderful. And you teach down in Orange County or in LA?
I'm not teaching yoga currently. I do retreats in different places and different journeys around the world, and I always take my yoga with me. I think it's an important early morning practice. Mm. And so I do it wherever I'm teaching. I'm not teaching a regular class. Of course, I'm on my own floor every night, opening my own body. So yeah. I love it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, are you ready to jump in? Those were just some of my questions.
Yes, I'm ready, Lisa.
Okay. So you mainly work with women, which I love. And what does it mean when you say dream yourself awake?
Okay. Often people think of dreaming as sleeping dreams. And this is true. This is one of the main focuses I have with my work. And yet the truth is our mind is dreaming day and night. When we're awake, when we're asleep, the mind is a dreamer. And the mind isn't really who we are. It's a tool we use. And what my work to focus on is help people get in touch with more deeply who they are beyond the mind. But in order to do that, you actually have to see how your mind is dreaming. So I really believe women are the dreamers and the healers and the creators of life. And we have such an ability to nurture life and to offer that nurturing into life. And when we move our dreaming, when we actually clear, I'll say, patterns in our dreaming mind that go against us, I'll say patterns that are patterns of self-betrayal, self-doubt, those types of ways of being that really go against ourselves, we clear that. And then we're able to really step in to our innermost truth. We're able to move past the mind into listening to the wisdom of our bodies and our emotions, and more able to express ourselves without that filter of the mind. I don't know if that explains it to you, Lisa.
Yeah. So we're always dreaming, and that's it, but sometimes it's so unconscious.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's unconscious. And to dream ourselves awake is really to be able to see the unconscious. And our conscious mind doesn't often see the unconscious. And when you go into your sleeping dream and you see the symbols, the messages that come from your sleeping dream, that's really where the unconscious lies. So one part of dreaming yourself awake is learning to look at your sleeping dreams and to decode them. So you go, this is the pattern that's being shown to me. This is what I keep doing over and over again that is taking me into distress. And then you're able to see the message in the dream of how you shift that. And I help women learn how to decode those dreams and get those messages.
That's really amazing. So is it that we don't want to know, like our subconscious dreaming, is that stuff we really don't want to know about, or stuff that's buried deep inside of us from hurt or pain, or what is that subconscious layer?
Well, actually it's hidden. We don't see it. And I don't think it's that we necessarily don't want to know. I think if people have a lot of fear and want to sort of stay in their own, I'll call it familiar safety zone of this is who I am and this is how I operate and I'm not changing, that kind of, if we're in that space of, I'll call it rigidity, definitely we won't want to hear deeper messages of truth. But I think ultimately everybody yearns to feel free, free in their mind. Everybody yearns to connect with their deepest heart. And everybody is really seeking love, connection, and belonging. And so, and then we wonder why that's not happening for us.
Yeah.
And it's the unconscious beliefs that we carry that are so hidden and so often given to us at such an early age that we can't even see them.
And they just really impact the life. I mean, you don't even know what they're impacting in your life until you're aware of them. And it's like, oh my gosh, this has been, you know, this little incident that happened, you know, however many years ago, and so-and-so told me this or whatever, is affecting the way that I want to live my life, kind of.
You know, it's so true. One of the patterns I see a lot with women is perfectionism and trying to do everything right and everything perfect and not ready to put themselves out there until things are perfect. And, you know, that can happen so early when we spill our milk at the table and dad gets upset with us and we all of a sudden, you know, recoil and go, oh no, I don't want daddy to be mad at me. And we make a decision. We have to get more perfect. We have to not spill that milk again. And that's how early these patterns arise. And then we find ourselves, you know, in later life and really stressed from that, let's say, habit of trying to do things perfectly rather than just doing our best, letting go and having more flow and freedom inside.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, yeah, so true. So how did you learn about the dream work? How is it like, how did you learn about it? And then how has it affected your life personally?
I met a teacher in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and her husband actually had been dreaming how dream work really works in the psyche, in the mind. And he was working with a master teacher at the time, and he took his work to this teacher and said, "I'm dreaming this. What does this really mean?" And his teacher said, "Well, this is truth. This is what you must write about. This is your life's work." Wow. So his wife was the one that I met, and she began to teach me the dream work. And very early on, just a couple of sessions with her, I went, "Oh, this is really powerful work." I was a therapist at the time, but I really saw another level of being able to uncover through looking at my dreams. And it was very quickly, I was shown in a dream that I should be teaching dream work. And it felt like too overwhelming at the time. And I'm like, "I don't think so." And yet, what I knew was that those dreams were coming from a deeper place of wisdom inside of me that was much more intelligent than my mind that said, "No, I don't want to do this." And this is what I see, that our dream messages come through and say, "Here's your gift." And then the mind goes, "No, no, I don't want to do that," right, or "It's too scary," or "It's too hard." So I didn't fight with it very long, because at that point I recognized I'm going to be committed to listening to this wise inner voice inside of me that really has my best interest at hand. I feel like our inner dreamer, our wisest, highest self, is here to open our soul life and to expand us. So I listened and I learned to do the dream work, and I was skeptical, and then I kept doing it and seeing the incredible results of people's lives transforming. And actually, I was shown my breast cancer in a dream long before the mammogram showed it, like 10 months before that. And little things like that have been revealed to me. Even during the breast cancer, I went through an alternative route for healing. And I was guided all the way along, even showing me, you know, "Don't drink all that carrot juice. It's too much sugar for you." Mm-hmm. And start eating asparagus. Wow. So I had little ways that my dreams are really revealing how to heal my body.
And so do you notice that since you've gone through this work, are you, you're more conscious of your daydreaming?
Yes. And I think that's an important piece. And my whole work to dream yourself awake is I work with not only the sleeping dream, but the awareness that we have in our waking dream. You know, awareness is like the first key mm-hmm. to open ourselves to greater possibilities. And once we have awareness, it's like gold. And yeah, we have to act on the awareness. Yeah. So I work with women also in helping them see how they're dreaming their life. And when I say that, how are you living your life? How are you going against yourself? And in those places, so we can look at it in the waking dream, and then the messages in the sleeping dream. It's important, if you have a message in the sleeping dream, to actually make it happen in the waking dream. It's giving you consciousness. It's giving you awareness to, okay, this is the action you need to take in their waking dream. So as I said, same with me, a little frightened about my sleeping dream telling me I needed to be a dream teacher. And my dream teacher kind of held my hand in the waking dream to, okay, now this is what you have to do. So yeah, that's how I work with people, both sleeping and waking dream.
That's great. So it's like, I always say following the breadcrumbs, but this makes, sometimes you can't see the breadcrumbs. You can feel the guide. You could feel yourself being guided.
Mm-hmm.
And you're aware, you might be aware of that, but it's like, okay, well, what does this mean? And so it's like seeing those breadcrumbs more clearly so that you're, and ultimately this is all to make your life more effortless and more joyful. Is that the goal?
Yes, I'd absolutely say that. I think I can, you know, just looking back on my own life, I remember when I lived with a lot of stress and not ease. Everything felt challenging. I could recognize I had a lot of resistance about things. And now I can say, I feel like I'm in sort of my deepest flow inside. And that flow is a wider, I'll use the word consciousness again. It's the ability to meet life and just meet it wherever it is, accept everything yeah. where it is, and then make choices around how I'm going to interact with life. So there is so much more ease. There's flow, There's openness. Mm-hmm. I don't need to guard my heart. I don't need to resist what's happening. I need to meet what's happening and then make a decision around it. So there's so much more ease. I don't feel that stress and contraction and, contraction, I might say.
Yeah. And I always say that too. Awareness is the first key. You've got to be aware. And I think, you know, people that are listening to the show are aware. They wouldn't be here if they weren't, you know, interested in expanding themselves. So I think we have to be to that point first, right? Before you even start this. So if I were to want to start a dream practice or remember my dreams more, you know, clearer, how would you suggest to me and to the listeners that we do that?
Well, you've already said it. You know, the desire to have a dream practice is really big. Mm-hmm. I often hear women say, you know, I don't really recall my dreams, or I don't dream at all, which is really not true. We all have 3 to 7 dreams per night, and yet we don't remember them always. And many times I don't recall. I'll sleep all night and don't recall that I have a dream. However, what I've discovered is I help women really learn how to cultivate a dream practice. First is intention. I want to connect with my dreams. It's what I sort of feel like is that intention alone, the dreams begin to come to you. You have to pay attention to them. Writing down a dream incubation letter before you go to bed, and that's basically asking your inner self, which I call your dreamer, what you want to know about something. Like, dreamer, please show me in a dream tonight how I can come closer to you. How can I listen more to your voice? Or maybe it's even something specific. I'm confused about which job to take here. Could you show me what I need to know about this decision I'm trying to make? So as you'd write your dream intention down, that and put it, you know, in your hand, through your pen, onto paper, that's another concrete way to say to your dreamer, please connect with me. And then when you wake up, whether it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 6 in the morning, the minute you wake up, if you can keep your eyes closed, just you notice you're coming awake and ask yourself, you know, were there dreams there? Were there images there? And just lay there and feel into the dream time. You may get something, you may not. If you have a really clear dream, I say, write it down immediately, because it will go in a flash. And I have done this way too many times where
it's gone.
It's 3 in the morning. I'm like, I'm not getting up to write this. I know I'll remember it. I'm telling myself to remember, and then I don't.
Yeah.
So as you really create the practice, I have women creating a dream altar and have their dream journal, and you just start doing that. And also there's a whole preparation with the body and the mind. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but once the dreams start coming and you connect, I have some amazing dreamers that started off going, I don't really remember my dreams. And now they're just like every night they're being given so much guidance. So
that's great. It's like another tool, like, because we could use meditation and get some answers through meditation, but this is the subconscious stuff it's an additional tool to our resource box, right? Or whatever resource.
Yes.
Yeah.
I in fact, really, from everything I've understood from a sort of neuroscience perspective, is that the only way we really tap into unconscious beliefs and habits is through meditation or dreaming or dreams. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, the conscious mind is looking for something it can't find. So we have to drop into those deeper layers of our own consciousness, those deeper bodies inside. And that's where we get those messages.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that stuff. So you mentioned perfectionism as being a challenge for women. What are some other challenges that you see when you work with women?
You know, I guess I'm going to use sort of a broad term saying self-betrayal. I mean, we betray ourselves when we don't trust ourselves, when we don't respect ourselves, we don't have clear boundaries. I see a lot of women, especially here in LA, they're working full-time, they're managing partners and kids and activities, and they're trying to take care of their bodies. And there's just so many ways they're scattering their energy. It's going here and there and everywhere. And then they all of a sudden recognize they aren't connected to themselves. They lose what's important to them.
Yeah.
And what's important to their heart.
Yep.
And they're kind of walking around just trying to, you know, catch up with everything. So they lose themselves. And when we lose ourselves, we move often into self-doubt about a lot. Then that leads to worry and guilt and perfectionism, trying to keep it all together. So it's kind of all of it, that initial self-betrayal by scattering our energy, by becoming overloaded, and we lose ourselves.
And that, again, going back to that piece of self-awareness, because, I mean, we all have to do life, right? Life happens
yes.
around us. And so, you know, our chores and our you know, carting kids around and that stuff, that, you know, that's stuff we have to do. But there is a way to go through life and continue to do all of those things that we have, that we're responsible for in our life, in our daily life, while still staying connected to our heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from defining our values and priorities and really letting go of sort of the extraneous things that we really don't have to do, but we maybe do out of obligation, which is another big one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, you know, it's what I should do. And that should, I call it the should master.
Yep.
I should do this and I should do that. And I'm like, I think it's important to stop and go every time you hear that word. Is that really true? What, feel into your body, feel into what's really true for you, and let go of those obligations that you're just doing because you've created the pattern or the habit of doing them.
Oh, yeah. I remember a time in my life that I was, looking back, so neurotic about, it was my kids were little and I had to make sure the house was clean, and I had to do, you know, it's like I put all these heavy, heavy responsibilities on myself. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore.
It's so true. All those expectations to have it all together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So could you suggest to women three top priorities that can help to give them maybe a better connection with their, you know, with that part of themselves that does have the power, that authentic power?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think first, one of the things we can all get better at is learning to listen. You know, we talk a lot and we listen less, but listening really means listening inside. So taking time, a daily practice, even if it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes on our lunch hour sitting in the car mm-hmm. at our job, if it has to be that, or getting up 10 minutes early and just sitting and breathing and getting into that silent time. You can call it meditation. You can call it just stopping and listening. And I think that is the number one thing. You know, I always say, listening is really the highest form of love. When we listen to others, we're loving them rather than jumping in and telling them what to do or thinking we have an opinion. So listening to ourselves is even more important. And the more we take time to listen, the more connected we become inside.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's really important. So tell me what the dream stream is. And
I will, but let me give you two other things. I gave you one listening, but I also, the other one I mentioned earlier was, I tell women, because I know this one so much, fire your should master.
Mm.
Just fire that one, that guy, that girl, whoever is in your head. It could be your mother, society.
Yep.
Just fire your should master. Mm. And that can feel really hard for women who are used to accommodating or pleasing others, that people pleasing, you need to do it all right. And all of a sudden you're saying, no, that's a should, I'm not doing that. And it can feel uncomfortable. It can feel kind of callous or even hard or uncaring. Mm. And it really isn't, because who you're really being warm and caring to is yourself. When you have more of you, you have more to give.
Yes.
So firing your should master is important. And the last one, which is, I know what you teach, is really about getting in touch with the wisdom mm-hmm. of our bodies mm-hmm. and really recognizing what our body is saying, you're overloaded, you're overcommitted, you need to rest. Yeah. Or when you've been sitting too long, you need to walk. So listening to the wisdom of our bodies, because we are in our minds a lot, especially if we have, you know, full-time jobs where we're using the mind. Yeah. So the body wisdom is key to really coming into ourselves.
Yeah, I always say, listen to the whispers before it screams at you.
That is right on. Right on.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Well, thank you for those three tips. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm so excited to hear what the dream stream is.
Okay. You know, I've been working for too many years here, actually, not too many. I'm still loving my work. So the dream stream is a membership that I created for women. It's for women to come to what I'll call a hub for tools around dreaming, sleeping dreams, for inspiration, for teachings around awareness. It's a way to become connected to a greater community of women who are all seeking to dream themselves awake into more empowerment, more heart, more of their true soul's calling. So the dream stream covers not only tools and information and inspiration, it's also a connection with other women. And that connection mainly comes through a Facebook page where, boy, my dreamers are going back and forth and really supporting each other and sharing dreams and sharing the fun they're having in their lives or their challenges. And also I do retreats and different spiritual journeys, and frequently my dreamers come and they meet each other. And so that's one part of it, if you want to be really connected to a larger community of dreaming women. And if not, the Dream Stream itself is a monthly membership where you'll get a lot each month. You'll have a monthly intention. You can be with that all month. I give tools and exercises so that you can stay behind that intention. And what I see is a big stream of light with everyone dreaming into the same intention. And what I know is collective consciousness is powerful. Mm. And as we're in any collective consciousness, if we're in one where everyone is going in the same direction, I'll say we're all swimming downstream mm. to the ocean of consciousness, the ocean of ourselves. And most often, when we're on our own and we're unconscious, we're swimming upstream, and that's the stress we feel and the resistance we feel. Yeah. So the dream stream's to help people jump in the stream and begin to move downstream with more flow, more ease, and that's what I'm offering in the dream stream.
Oh, that's wonderful. And unfortunately, we're out of time. That went by so quickly. But I want to let you say a few words about your free gift to everybody, and then where people can find you.
All right. My free gift is 10 tips on conscious dreaming, and so happy to offer that. So for people who want to take a look at whether that's, you know, that's their pathway. Mm-hmm. So I'll send that along. And then you can find me at dreamstream.com, which is, there's two S's in that, dreamsstream. Mm-hmm. Or raiseyourstate.com is my main website that has all my offerings there. The dreamstream.com is where you can actually sign up to actually go and see what is in the dream stream and see if that's what is interests you, if you're inspired by that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for your information today, for being here today, for taking the time with our listeners today. And for listeners, you can find the links to Victoria's website on femana.com in the Women Reconnecting blog area. And as always, thank you so much for your loyalty and listening. And if you liked what you heard, do us a favor and hop on over to iTunes and give the Women Reconnecting show a great review. It'd be really appreciated. And make sure to tune into the following exciting episode, and I'll talk with you then.
Listen to
to Women Reconnecting, the only show that talks about the missing link to wellness and fulfillment, with your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells, and her guests as they share what's working now to feel alive and fulfilled in life. Would you like to ascend from the daily stresses of life and discover how to stop merely existing and how to play full out so you can feel alive again? Listen as guests share simple tips to step up your wellness factor and excitement for living so you can create the life you want. This show is not intended to replace any medical advice from a licensed practitioner. Consult your doctor before trying something new. Hello and welcome everyone. This is Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana and host of this show, Women Reconnecting. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking with a guest who I feel exudes warmth. And I can tell she's very compassionate. We were talking a little bit before we started here. And in fact, Carolyn will be sharing her expertise in this interview titled Discover Your Inner Radiance Using Forgiveness, where we're going to talk about forgiveness, how it leads to freedom and empowerment, and how it's going to allow you to tap into your inner radiance. Now, before we get into the interview, let me just tell you a little bit about my guest, Carolyn C.J. Jones. She's a forgiveness expert and guide, a multi-award-winning author, speaker, coach, and creator of Change Your Story, Change Your Life programs. First and foremost, CJ is a leader. This is demonstrated in her professional career as a registered nurse while employed by Colorado's Medicaid program. At the state level, CJ created, developed, and managed a program for medically fragile children who were dependent on high-tech machinery for living, for their lives. The program allowed them to be cared for at home with an hourly nursing care rather than living in a hospital intensive care unit. And because of this program, each child's story was changed, and that drastically changed their life. Even though proven as a leader at the state, CJ's personal experiences are at the heart of her leadership abilities. She spent 35 years angry and bitter over her childhood until 2005. She learned to change that story when she discovered forgiveness. In current day, it's become her passion to help people discover the freedom available when they experience the peace, joy, and empowerment that occur when they are forgiving. As a forgiveness expert and guide, she uses the same skills now that she displayed in leading the children's program. Only now, there's more wisdom, more passion. CJ created the Yippie Method to lead others through their unique issues so that they too can change their story and change their life. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm really excited to be here today.
I am very excited to hear about your story and some of your some of what you do. It sounds terrific. So this is a show about women reconnecting to their inner radiance. How do you connect to yours?
Oh, that's a great question. First and foremost, my kitty Izzy, and I have a very tight bond. She's a feral kitty, and when I've had her for 8 years, and she just allows me still to this day to pet her a certain way. She taught me about, she taught me about love and that to accept it as it's being given instead of wanting it to be a certain way.
It's interesting how animals do that. I love to watch my animals because they live in the moment. There is no expectation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Yeah, it's very great.
The other thing I like to do to increase my inner radiance is home decorating. Mm. But the thing that really gets me is varnishing boat trim. So trim wood on boats and varnishing it. I love to do that. And I am in a radiant, passionate place when I'm doing that.
Oh, that's awesome. I bet there's probably 100 people that would snap that up and just say, come over here.
Right.
Do you have your own boat?
I used to. I used to live aboard a 45-foot boat.
Nice.
And that was with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
I ended up leaving the marriage, though.
But it's probably a really interesting way of life. I have some friends that also for, 20 years, 15 or 20 years, they would live on a boat. And it sounds magical. So I'm sure it has its challenges too.
It is magical though. And I'm glad for your friends that they were able to live aboard for so long. That's great.
Yeah. Your connection to your inner radiance, has that always been that way for you?
No, it hasn't. I used to be filled with fear, shame, despair, no self-confidence, a self-esteem that was in the toilet. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much of a mess, Lisa. Pretty much of a mess.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of listeners who are feeling like that right now. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how that kind of shaped your life and what led you to forgiveness.
Sure. I felt those feelings that I just described because of the type of childhood I had. It was very chaotic and dysfunctional growing up in the home where I grew up. And often words and discipline crossed a line. Hmm. I left for college feeling all those things and worthless, hopeless, etc. And until senior year of college, I was very unable to get a handle on my past and to get over it. And then I met my best friends. We became great buddies, and my best friends were Mr. Cuervo Gold, Ms. Margarita, and Miss Miller Light.
Your best buddies, huh?
My best buddies, and they remained my best buddies for 30 years. Yeah. So I went to college actually to be a nurse, which I did graduate. Luckily, I didn't discover alcohol until late in my senior year. And so for 27 years, 30 years, I practiced nursing, drinking, and drugging, and being a victim. I practiced all of those things. You see, my drinking and drugging were fuel for the fire of my anger and my bitterness. Yeah. And then I hit rock bottom. It was over an unrequited love, a man that I met while I was still married. And I was sure this other man felt the same way, so I left my marriage, which was very dysfunctional and alcoholic itself. And I found out this man didn't care for me. Oh, Lisa, I was devastated, just emotionally shattered.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I was so upset that all I could do for the next 2 months was drink and cry. I couldn't even feed myself. Yeah, I was in bad shape. Finally, I realized that I was going to die if I continued. And I realized somewhere down deep that I didn't want to die. So I prayed out of desperation to a God I didn't even believe in, begging for help. I was soon led to sobriety. And 4 years into it, I discovered a way to forgive my parents And I can't tell you how peaceful and freeing that place of forgiveness was and still is today. I can tell you that that changed my story and it changed my life.
I can hear that in you. And isn't it interesting that, you know, we're put here on this earth with different situations to kind of, you know, sometimes it seems like these are really, really bad situations that we have to come up against or live through. But it's through those difficult times that we really learn to open up and really learn to love ourselves, wouldn't you say?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And also, Lisa, I believe that we've gone through difficult times in our lives so that when we heal from them, we can then go out and help others to heal from similar wounds.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So tell us a little, tell us what you do with forgiveness. What do you do in the world and why?
Well, I lead women to that place of great peace and freedom, and I do it using forgiveness. I have a process that I created. And the reason I do it is because I know what it's like to be in a mental prison. I know what it's like to have a low self-esteem and a low opinion of yourself and to be scared to death of everything. And on the flip side, I know what it feels like beyond all of that. I want so much, Lisa, to share that place with other people, so the other women, so that they can go to that place too, because it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's probably something that you could never have imagined from the other side.
No, and in fact, I have a funny tale for you.
Yeah.
When I would take whatever drug I was taking and think I was in nirvana, filled with joy, I didn't even have a clue.
Yeah. That's, and, you know, it's great that you're talking about this because there's, you know, there's people going through a lot of stuff.
I know.
And they could probably really relate. So I'm sorry, go ahead, what you were saying.
I just said I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of people going through a lot of things.
So just kind of a little off topic, but I'm curious, how do you, when people don't know what it's like on the other side, how do you help them understand that? How do you help them understand that that's where they need to go if they don't even know?
What I do is all I can do is share about my own story.
Yeah.
And so if I can share and be effective in the telling of it, such that people understand where I really was, maybe they relate to it very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I describe what happened to shatter me and how I climbed back from that devastation and what I found on the other side, I mean, there was a lot of work that went on before I actually discovered forgiveness.
Yeah.
A lot of work. And that is the place that people are afraid to go, I think. And yet, to get to the other side, you got to go through the tunnel to get to the other side.
Yeah. Or I like to say kind of climb. When I was going through my divorce, I felt like I had to climb out of a dark, deep well. Like how to climb up those, you know, it's kind of the same thing as going through that tunnel. So tell our listeners, why would they want to forgive somebody who harmed them?
Very good question. The thing about forgiveness is it's a myth that says that when you forgive someone, you're saying that it's okay what they did, because it's never okay what someone did when they harmed you. But the reason that you want to forgive is because it clears your heart. It frees your heart.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's for yourself that you forgive.
That's right.
Kind of letting go, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, just a letting go. So how does forgiveness affect us physically? Like, if we're, you know, between the difference between not forgiving and carrying that weight around and forgiving and letting go.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, Lisa. They did some research at Stanford University, and specifically it was called the Forgiveness Project. And a gentleman by the name of Fred Luskin, who's a PhD psychologist there, he was in charge of the Forgiveness Project. And what they discovered was, and they monitored people's physical health throughout a process of teaching them how to forgive. And what they discovered was that when you forgive, your risk of high blood pressure, your risk of heart disease and heart attack, and your risk of cancer all are decreased. So you're at less risk for those diseases and physical situations to come your way.
Yeah, I completely believe that that could be true, because I think that disease is caused from carrying around anger and shame and all hurt and victimhood and all of those things.
Right.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah, you know, and especially I when I think of cancer, especially because I believe that there's something more than just, I believe there's a lot of emotional, our emotions are affecting our getting the disease of cancer, just like you're talking about, the dis-ease.
Right. Yeah, I think it's, I just had something and it just went like that out of my head. So we'll get back to it.
Okay.
We'll get back to it. I don't know where I was going there. But so tell us how you lead women using that the method that you created.
Oh, yes. This is a great method. It's called the Yippie method.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and I named it that because it's like, yippee, I'm going to experience more joy. Or, yippee, I'm going to experience more peace. Mm. What it is, it's an acronym, and it stands for Yearn to Investigate, Practice the Process, and Evolve into Empowerment.
I like that.
Yes, yes. So can I describe a little bit about it?
Yes, please do.
Okay, great. The Yearn to Investigate stage is about shifting our mindset and looking at things from a different perspective with fresh eyes. So in order to yearn and to really yearn, what we're trying to do is discover what our story is. Hmm. So we start by discovering our story, but first we look at the mindset. So we deal with willingness, surrender or letting go, and gratitude. And we deal with those before we even look at what our story might be. And then I have people investigate their story, the cause behind it or causes, and just what is behind that story for them. So, for example, it could be a messy divorce. It could be a job that you lost and you're still feeling badly about it, like you were wrong, perhaps. Maybe you're having a tiff with a neighbor. Maybe you have some childhood issues that have not been dealt with and healed. And so that keeps getting in your way for you in your current life.
Yeah.
So we investigate that, and then the next part of investigation, once we've written our story down in, oh, maybe 20 to 30 words, then we turn our attention to a self-appraisal. This is a fact-finding mission in which we want to find out where we might have contributed to the situation. Now, it may be that we didn't contribute anything. Often that's the case. I'd like to talk about our contribution. Well, I want to talk about my actual self-appraisal, I mean. And what that is I ask the women I'm working with to write down three kind and loving things that they did in the last 2 days. So just to write down three kind and loving things that they did for someone else, and then three kind and loving things that they did for themselves.
Great.
I ask them to be with that until it sinks deeply into their core that they are a good person at their core. And then I have them turn their attention to the unkind and unloving things that they did in the past 2 days. And I have them write down three of those. It might have been something mean and intentionally mean. And so that gets written down too. We deal with all of this later as we evolve, well, as we practice the process, actually. Because after you have this information, we then move into practice the process stage, which involves doing some various writing exercises. I have people write about their story in the first person, writing just everything they can think of about it, their feelings at the time, just what happened. Mm-hmm. And then I have them write about it as a private investigator in the third person, with it just being the facts.
Yep. I can see how that would make a huge difference.
It does, but get this. The third way I have them write, and this is the final way, is with this question in mind. Does this feeling, does this story still serve me?
Yeah.
And so very often it doesn't.
Right. Yeah, very often it's something that you've wanted to get rid of, but it's kind of just like hanging on, right?
Right.
But you've got to untangle it. And so I could see how this, your method is really powerful.
It really is. And the most powerful part is the evolve into empowerment, where we dive into looking at the anatomy of a resentment and things that we can do to get beyond a resentment. And this is the stage in which we look at compassion and how someone can become a more compassionate person and develop compassion for the person who wronged you.
Yeah, that's great.
And then, and then we look at forgiveness.
Yeah, so I was wondering if you have a way for our listeners to start their journey on forgiveness.
Yes, absolutely. I think the primary thing is to develop a desire to have peace and freedom in your life. And with that peace and freedom, just keep that in your heart as something to strive for. And then remember that there is hope.
Yeah.
There is always hope. And I have a great acronym for hope. It stands for two things. The first is hold on, pain ends. And the second is hold on. Possibilities emerge.
Ooh, I like that.
Isn't that nice?
Yes. You're a wordsmith. Is that what they call it?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love that. That's great. Wonderful. Well, I think that these two, you know, that the HOPE acronym, both acronyms, are really going to serve people. And, you know, I know it's the desire to have peace is really important, but that hope that it is possible, because I think a lot of people that are in a really dark place don't think that it's possible for them. So this is really great. And I know you have a free gift for our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. And I do have a free gift. It's a report.
Okay.
And it's called The Beginning, Change Your Story, Change Your Life. What it is it is a series of checking off what applies to you for 9 questions. And so that what you're trying to do is identify if you even have a story. I give some examples of stories that people might have. And then I give one tip of how to get beyond your story.
So what if somebody doesn't identify with any of those stories, or are they something that everybody could identify with?
I tried to run the whole gamut of situations that might be out there that people would experience.
That's great.
Yeah, but if that isn't included, is not included, then I'm hoping that people will stretch it a little bit and realize that, well, even though she didn't list this, this is my story.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so there's stories that could fit most of us, and then what to do.
Yes, yes. Oh,
that sounds very helpful. And that is going to be on the blog at themana.com. So Caroline, I'm going to have all of your information on the blog. I'm going to have, so listeners, you can go to themana.com and get Carolyn's free gift. And then you can also connect with her, on her website. I will put her website up there. So do you want to tell people how to get in touch with you?
Yes. Go to my website, which is CarolynCJJones.com. And Carolyn is spelled Carolyn, and then the initial C, and then the initial J, and then Jones, Jones.com.
Super simple.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, Carolyn, it's been fantastic, you know, just talking with you and listening to your method. It sounds like you have it down pat so that it really gets results for people.
It really does. Do I have time to say a quick success story?
Sure. We have like another minute.
Okay. Susie is a woman who came to me with a problem that she had had since childhood, that her father didn't love her. And it was getting in her way in life. And she realized when she heard me speak that if anyone could help her, I could. So she took my program. And what she realized was her father loved her in the only way he knew how. And she resolved that old hurt, and her resentment went away.
Wow. And that's done, and I bet that's just done amazing things for her life.
It has. It makes her far more willing to approach people and allow them to approach her. She's really opened up to people.
Yeah, it's kind of, I can see where it would be very freeing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Well, so listeners, please go to themana.com so that you can get Carolyn's information and her free gift. And we will see you on the next episode.
As always,
always, we appreciate you listening to Women Reconnecting, where you get inspired to reconnect with who you really are and create a life that brings you joy. With each episode, we bring you new strategies to feel your best and discover new possibilities for your life. Make sure to listen again as we bring you new and exciting guests that will help you to keep moving forward along your path so you can have fun, play full out, and really feel alive. Until next time, enjoy life.